You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned.
All right, welcome to TJ Talks. I am Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
And good Wednesday evening.
Yep, happy hump day night.
I know. Mike.
Right. I love that commercial. I'm such a nerd. I love it. Wow. I love talking animals.
Oh, wow. Some insurance company just made some money off of us, huh?
That's right. Exactly. I hope that camel did. I hope he gets residuals.
I know. He doesn't look anything like the Joe Cool camel, does he?
Well, he's not supposed to. They're completely different brands.
Right. It's kind of like two owls that are like buddies, right? You know, right. Woodsy Owl and, of course, you know, Mr. Owl from the Tootsie Roll Pop.
Oh, yeah, they don't look alike either. Joe Cool Camel is supposed to appeal to kids, so that's why. Mm-hmm. This Geico Camel is appealing to adults.
Yeah, well, that's because they can't sell insurance to kids, right?
Right. If they need to market cigarettes to kids. Yeah. That's a habit I don't have. Thank God. Because of my little addictive personality traits, I can't even imagine being a smoker.
You know, talking about smoking, since we're bird walking all over our intro, there's an article about how marijuana is going to be getting ready to hit Florida. They're pretty confident that Florida is going to approve medical marijuana.
Wow. Are you going to get a card?
We can't. It's still federally against the law. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it comes legal.
It's not legal federally. They told us already. They said,
oh.
Don't even think about it, guys.
Really? Oh, okay. All right.
Directed by higher authority.
The iron thumb has already been squashed down on you.
Yeah, yeah. And they made sure because, you know, we got offices in Washington and Colorado where it's recreationally legal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and doing quite well fiscally for those states, I hear.
That's what they say.
Yeah. But
now, here's the other question. Is marijuana addictive? Because that was part of the thing that they always claim is it's not addictive like nicotine.
Everybody says that, and that's not true because THC is addictive. And I think the state of being high is an addictive personality state, right?
I totally believe that there is an addictive nature.
Of course there is.
I mean, why would...
That's why it's fun. That's why
people don't just quit and go, oh, I could take it or leave it. They're totally, Right. Hey, let's go get some pot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the gateway drug that everyone fears it to be. Yes, it's still a controlled substance, but frankly, we've had this conversation before. I'd rather have 1,000 people on pot than 1,000 people on meth, because that's... just bad news. So, yeah. So, okay. Well, so you'll be banned, but it might be legal in Florida.
They'll be my next door neighbor will be getting high, and I'll be like, fuck.
You can get the contact high fumes.
I don't want it. I don't even want it. I don't like how it smells. I don't like nothing about it. I mean, I don't care that other people do it. That's fine. I mean, whatever, but.
Right.
Me personally, I just don't have an interest in it.
I guess I've done a few times, and I don't like to smoke because it burns my lungs. It makes me cough, so I'm just not built for that. I've had an edible item, and the reaction that I had from that was fairly strong and not super fun. So I don't know that I need to do that again. And I have a friend who has a theory that. You know, what we're all really looking for in life is the two drink buzz, right? Whether it's from marijuana, whether it's cocaine, whatever. You want that feeling of I'm really happy and I'm just not associating all my troubles right now and life is really good. And you usually get it if you're a drinker after that second drink. And then you can't maintain that buzz, right? You've got to, because you have the next drink and then probably the following drink. And so then you've gone over the edge. It's the apex of the drop on the coaster. You get up there by drinking the two drinks and then that sweet spot of a moment where you're there for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then you ruin it by drinking more or stopping drinking. So you can't win. It's an ethereal moment in space and time, but it does exist and it is a very sweet spot when you get there. Spoken like a true addict.
Well, since we're talking about addictions, let's talk about what we're going to talk about on the show today.
I'm addicted to that. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so we're going to talk about wine and masturbation.
Well, not just wine, but in general, booze. That's right. Yes.
Booze and masturbation. Can you give it up for 30 days?
And a very famous person has had some good results and is really hyping it for folks. So we'll talk more about that, yeah.
And then we'll talk about how much sleep do you actually need?
Well, if you're not drinking or masturbating, I guess you'll be sleeping.
Well, maybe you need to masturbate or drink wine to get some sleep. Damn it.
And that's where medical people would tell you that's not good for you. Oh, but we'll talk about that later, too.
Okay. And finally, we're going to talk about, are we living in the worst time of the world ever?
Ever. Like, doom and gloom is everywhere around us. My God. Between Ebola and bombing and complete, you know, chaos and female genital mutilation and just all these exciting, unhappy topics.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy, right? It does make you just want to slip out of society every once in a while. So let's talk about fun things. Alcohol and masturbation.
Okay.
Okay, so are you familiar with Tim Ferriss?
No.
And if you're not, Jed, you're his target audience. Tim
really?
Ferriss, he's the very famous author of the very famous book, The 4-Hour Work Week.
Really?
And The 4-Hour Body and The 4-Hour Chef. And so his whole thing in life is to find as many life hacks, which is one of my favorite terms now. I love that term. To make your life easier, to make you the best, most productive, most efficient, but least effort that you can do. So he's got this fabulous but very stringent and very difficult to adhere to diet. But if you do, you can be like him and be very svelte. The 4-Hour Work Week talks about how you can prioritize and manage and make your time work for you at work so that you're only really working, you know, 4 hours at a time and blah, blah, blah. Now, I've read 4-Hour Work Week, and I even listened to it on audio. The thing is, I don't have a job where I can only look at my email once a day, and I don't know a lot of people that do have that kind of job. So I get it that time management is the way to make your work week better, but that's a thing that doesn't work for me. But so anyway, Google Tim Ferriss, and you'll get a bajillion hits on him.
I got the actual site up there of his blog where he talks about the challenge.
So he calls this challenge Knob Non, and it stands for no booze and no masturbation. And his claim is that his focus and ability to pay attention, to be more energized, to be more productive in life was enhanced by a 30-day complete drop of booze and masturbating.
Now, mind you, he says sex is A-okay.
Right. So it's and I think his real take, as you read the article, is about the mindless watching of porn.
Yes.
Like, don't spend hours watching porn and getting off and get out in the world and engage. And don't drink, because that slows you down the morning after. You're just not productive. And, that's what he says. So I sent the link to you about this article, and I jokingly said, well, could you do it?
Okay.
Well, could you do it?
No, I can't do it. I ain't doing it.
And we all remember the contest, right? The famous Seinfeld episode?
I'm totally drinking a glass of wine right now.
I know, and I'm not. I'm sort of doing it, although I wasn't planning this Tim Ferriss challenge. But I do know there's a performance issue occasionally for me when I overindulge. So I'm trying it on the other side of the spectrum. Which one would be harder for you to give up? Because I can tell you right now, for me, it's wine.
Really? It'd be masturbation.
Or booze. See? And I think that would be a very gender-specific answer. Like, I really, really think that most guys could forego their booze for 30 days, but I don't think they could forego the other part.
Yeah, well, I don't have a current sex partner right now.
Still?
So, yeah. Huh? Well, I'm working on it.
Okay, but I have to think of it this way. Uh-huh. I mean, my circumstances is skewed because I do have a current sex partner. Uh-huh. But even if I didn't, it's just not as important to most women that physical release and that masturbation thing as it is to men. I mean, let's be honest, right? Most guys touch their junk whenever they get a chance, right? Like if you're just sitting around watching TV, you're probably touching it. And no, that's more common nature.
Not for me.
You're blushing as you say it. It's just like the women who say they never masturbate. I've never done it. They're all fucking lying and they should just get over it. But it's that kind of thing. I think it's just very specific that women don't need to do that as much. Sometimes, but not always. And not, you know.
I mean, me, 5-6 times a day. I mean, come on.
And you just told me you never touch your stuff when you're watching TV. Of course you're touching.
I mean, there's got to be something really good on TV. I mean.
So here's what he said happened to him because he stopped doing it. He had a dramatic surge in free testosterone and sex drive. So he really felt that it enhanced his experiences because sex is okay, right? Having actual sex with another human being. And that that made it more exciting. So he also had an increased ability to focus and had better cognitive endurance. And he got roughly, he estimated 50 to 100% more things done. When you aren't nursing hangovers, chewing up 3 to 4 hours per night with friends, destroying your sleep with booze, or procrastinating with porn, you know who you are. You get a lot more done. I think, I mean, first of all, he's a trained, he's a very skillful educator in those sorts of things. So I think he might be onto something. I know you'll never do it, but.
Well, here's first off. This is just anecdotal philosophy from his perspective.
That's sure.
Not, you know, there's no statistics to back up his bullshit. It's just what he says worked for him.
Look how defensive you are. Just you know? Talking like it, you know.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I mean, think about it. If I'm going to spend time having sex with my girlfriend,
yes,
I would think it's going to take more than 5 minutes, and I would think that the more time I spend doing that, the less time I'm going to get to be productive getting things done.
He's really aiming this. I mean, you have to read between the lines here, Judd, that he's talking about the people who spend a couple hours a day looking at, you know, RedTube or YouPorn or whatever it is.
Those are 5-minute videos. You're in, out, get done. Go, back to work.
Back to work.
Come on. What does he do afterwards?
Did you ever see that movie, Dawn?
Smoking a cigarette and having a drink? I mean, come on.
Well, if you do it right, you are. Did you see that movie, Don John, with
no.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I heard the name, but I haven't seen
it. Yeah. Yeah. And the premise of that movie was he's very addicted to porn and that he can't stop himself, right? And I think there are a lot of people who have that problem. Now, you're, you know, obviously not one of them. We get it. So. But let's really talk about why God invented iPads. It's for porn.
For the convenience factor.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to take the whole computer to bed anymore.
Okay, so put the porn and the touching yourself aside. No alcohol thing, you can't dispute that that's better for your efficiency and productivity when you're not, you know, half in the bag at the end of the night.
Well, right.
Right. And if you do any of those life hack / business preparedness things where you spend 20 minutes in the evening getting prepared for your tomorrow by writing out your to-do list or whatever, like, you don't do that shit when you're drunk. You just go to bed.
Well, it wasn't Mark Twain. Who was it? It was the other writer down there in Key West.
Ernest Hemingway?
He said, I think it was him, said, write drunk, edit sober.
That sounds very Hemingway-esque.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like we said, anecdotal. If anybody tries it for 30 days, let us know how your success is. I think Judd and I would give up one or the other, but we wouldn't give up both.
I'll give up booze. I've done that anyways. I'm totally, that ain't no big deal. I've gone a couple weeks. Actually, I've gone a lot more than that. I've gone quite a bit without.
Yeah, you're not a drinker at heart, right?
Right. I was talking about masturbation.
Oh, really?
Quite a long time without doing that before.
Well,
and I can tell you. Yeah, what?
It's not something you want to win a medal in. I mean, you know.
No, that's the whole thing, you know. There's a reason why we enjoy orgasming. I mean, we don't, you know, it's not like something that people talk about. They don't go, hey, I've done that. But we know that everybody does it.
Everybody does it.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So, and those of you who say you don't, or those of you who in fact do not, you're missing
start.
Out.
Yeah, start. There's a whole section of tools online to help you.
And so, you can visit my online eBay store to buy those toys.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. I'd be a millionaire, trust me.
There's
people making a fortune selling that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's worth every penny.
You know, what they do is they get all this knockoff stuff from China and then they resell it on eBay. Yeah, it's true.
Well, you can't put a price on pleasure. Well, sometimes you can in Vegas. Yeah.
And that price is $19.99.
All right. Well, we've beaten this to death.
Hey.
Let's get off onto another topic.
Okay.
What's next?
Well, since we mentioned both these things could potentially make you feel a little sleepy. How much sleep do you actually need?
How much do you need?
I generally am getting about 4 hours of sleep a night these days, if I'm lucky.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like much. Are you feeling the effects of that?
Yes, I totally am. And tomorrow night, I probably will get about 4 hours of sleep tomorrow night.
That's crazy.
Because I don't know what you'd call it. I have a friend who's a girl that I'm working with.
Okay.
You're going out tomorrow. I'm going out tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. When you're in the dating world, you got to go out Monday through Friday. You can't just save that stuff up for the weekends. You can go out on the weekends too. You got to be out there all the time.
Right. I have to make sure that, you know, things are okay.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. You know. So you're going to be busy till late. So you're going to get 4 hours of sleep because you have a very early start time at your job, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be at work at 6. So I'll work from 6 until 2:30.
Right.
And then I'll go handle all the other BS for the day. And then after that, I'll come home. Might take a little bit of a nap if I'm lucky.
Good. Get your club nap. Yep.
That's it. And then I'll be out the door going to this little party central thing where I'll hang out with my lady friend.
Oh my god. Okay, first of all, that's very dated sounding, but I understand what you're saying. I need between 6 and 7 hours a night to really feel like I function well the next day.
Yeah.
And do you sleep well when you're sleeping? Even if it's only the 4 hours?
I sleep awful whether it's 8 hours or like the last night I think I went to bed at 9:30 and I got a really long sleep, but I wake up every couple hours.
So what are you doing that does, like, what's going on? Is there light in your room? Are there things beeping by your nightstand? Is your phone on? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I just do. I just naturally wake up and then I'll look and I'll go, oh, it's 3:30. Fuck. I've got to go back to sleep for another hour.
They say you sleep in like 90-minute segments, right?
Is that right?
That's your REM cycle or whatever. So if you wake up at 3:30, but you have to get up at 4:45, then you're only going to be, you know, really sleeping for about an hour or so, and then you're going to wake up in that deepest part of your sleep, so you won't feel rested when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bummer. And you don't watch TV or anything to fall asleep?
I listen to podcasts, actually.
Okay.
I fall asleep to that.
Do you have headphones in?
No.
No, okay.
I don't have anybody else in the room, so it's no big deal. So, but,
And it shuts off automatically. You put, like, a sleep timer on it.
I do. I have a timer.
Yeah.
And you know what? It lasts. I'm usually up for about 10 minutes of podcast before I'm asleep.
Interesting. So I
can fall asleep that quick. It's just like that.
I can too. I pretty much fall asleep. I always fall asleep with the TV on, mm-hmm. and then have the TV on the sleep timer so it goes off. And I know they say you're not supposed to do that, but I've done it since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's kind of my security blanket or whatever, I guess. So that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I've done some hypnosis CDs and listened to those and fallen asleep. But at the end of the hypnosis CD, they wake you out of it, right? So you get this very deep trance going on and you're just drifting off, and then it will bring you out of the hypnosis because you're supposed to just do it, you know, during the day or whatever. So getting to sleep isn't usually very hard for me, and staying asleep is pretty good. I sleep with a snorer. I'm a loud teeth grinder, but, you know, the things that I do in my sleep don't wake me up per se. I would think, you know, my husband would probably say the same thing. He doesn't wake himself up. It's just when you sleep next to somebody who makes noise, sometimes you are awakened by that. But I sleep pretty good nowadays. Do you sleep better when you exercise or no, or drink or no, or like what things do you notice really affect your sleep?
Well, I would have thought that the exercise would make a difference, and I've been running really good lately.
Yeah.
So, but no, that didn't help.
It hasn't enhanced your sleep, huh?
I wonder if I'm snoring less, though. Then I'd like to know, but I don't know.
Oh, that might be why you wake up every 90 minutes. Do you have like a little bit of apnea?
I don't know.
Have you ever done a sleep test?
No.
Oh, you might want to do that. That's why.
I'm going to lose more weight. I'm losing weight, though. That's great. That's the best thing that's happened to me.
In general, apnea is, thought of sometimes heavy people always have that. You're not heavy in the least, but anyone can have apnea, especially if you have a deviated septum or whatever, any kind of nose issues. So mm-hmm. What about alcohol for you? Does that make you sleep better? Does it make you sleep worse?
Oh, that makes me sleep pretty good.
It does, because it helps you get to sleep, right? Yeah. It's now, have you ever taken Ambien or anything like that?
No.
I've never taken an Ambien. I really want to.
Really?
I want to see what it's like.
Everyone tells me that you get high. It's like a total, like, it's a drug. I mean, in every
absolutely
way, every way.
But I don't want to get high. I just want to sleep.
Yeah, but then you'll eat. That's what they say.
Ambien. Yeah,
it's this sleepwalking, eat walking.
Yeah. Now, do you like your bed? Is your bed comfortable?
Yeah, I do like it. Even though I'm supposed to get a new bed, but yeah, it is comfortable.
Ours is not comfortable, and we both don't like it, and we just haven't invested the money. Beds are expensive.
Yeah, they are. When was the last time you looked at the cost of a bed?
Oh, this one is 12 years old, and we've shopped, you know, and looked at ads, and it's $2,000 to get the bed we want.
Yeah. Sleep comfort beds and all those things.
I would love one of those sleep number deals where you can plug in your firmness or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are even more expensive.
I know. But they're supposed to last you 20 years.
And someone said to me, you should get a used one. I'm like, I don't want a used bed. That just doesn't seem like the kind of thing you should buy used.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I used to... Go ahead.
It isn't... The thing is, it's the pillow top that's really what you're going to have as the used portion. Now, if they were replacing that, but they were giving you the motor and the insides, like the all that.
No, it's just buying it from a private party. And, you know, who knows the last time they ever did whatever on there. So I don't know.
They are comfortable, I will tell you. I never actually got to sleep on the one that I paid for.
Right.
Right. We had it for 10 years. I think I laid on it, but I didn't get to sleep on it. Did we have sex on it? And now I got to remember that.
Yikes. So yours the one I should buy used because barely been slept on, never been fucked on.
That's it.
The shipping is going to kill me from Florida. All right. Well,
she has it. She can enjoy it.
Yes, she can. All right. Well, are we done talking about sleep?
We are done talking about sleep, but we can talk now about, are we living in the worst time of the world ever?
Feels like we should have a dun-dun-dun after that.
Okay, I'll put one.
Some sort of musical crescendo, yeah. I think we are, Jed.
Really?
And I'm a positive person, and I'm disheartened these days.
Really?
Because just like I said in the last week, that the Ebola, Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, Malaysia, Sarah Palin now has her own channel. I mean, there's just the apocalypse upon us.
Yeah, but isn't that ran by Stephen Colbert?
No. He has one that is called The Real Sarah Palin, and hers is Sarah Palin, whatever. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, oh, my God. Everything is bad.
You know.
And I'm a positive person. I'm not
buying this. I am totally not buying that this is the worst time in the world ever.
Well, people point out, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis was the closest we ever were to nuclear annihilation in the world, right? Okay. Since the dropping of the bombs. And that was, in theory, a more tense time in our country than now is. Because most of these negative things are external to the U.S., but still very integral to our day-to-day and very much a part of our news cycle.
You know, we have cures to more diseases now than we've ever had before. We have more access to information in a more timely manner than we've ever had before. People are living longer than they ever have before.
Tell that to the Ebola victims over in Liberia.
They chose to be there, you know? I mean, here, I live in Florida where flesh-eating bacteria in the water is killing people, apparently. And I go to the beach every day. I mean, I'm a block from it. I love it. And it's not going to stop me from putting my feet in the water.
Right. You know? I'm not saying I live in fear. I absolutely don't. I just do give some credence to the fact that there's some bad shit going on right now in the world.
Bad shit. In 2001, there were these planes that hit fucking New York, and everyone thought it was the fucking end of the world then. We're living in the worst times ever. Run for your lives. Save me.
Like I said, I'm not afraid.
All going to die.
And I get it. We have more access to information and more media now to shove all this negativity down our throats. But it just feels like there's a lot of rising seawater levels and temperatures globally and children being forced out of countries and not accepted in other countries and just, I don't know.
Well, I agree that that's true. Nothing that you're saying is not true. Although there's been plenty of time in the world when it was really fucking bad. I mean, you tell it to Europe during World War II that we're living in a worse time today than they were when Dresden was being firebombed.
What really kind of sent me over the edge is London. That I believe I picked up this topic idea from John Stewart, right? Yeah. Which, of course, I steal all my ideas from everybody. And thank God they don't listen. But Madeleine Albright was on, he showed a snippet of her. Yeah. And she said, you know, this is like the worst time in history ever. And so Madeleine Albright's family was chased out of Czechoslovakia due to the Nazi invasion, right?
Yeah,
and right. So Stewart says, you know, when the Nazi invasion is like a fond childhood memory and now we're living in the worst times ever, like that gives you a little bit of pause. So,
well, I wonder about her saying that. Did she say that?
Yeah, she did. Well, she didn't talk about the Nazi part, but she said, these are really bad times. Things are really bad. And I think she has the diplomatic and international experience to make a qualified statement. Not a Steve Doocy on Fox News making that statement, but someone of her stature. Or whoever, Megan Fox, or whatever. Yeah, right? Because they're just going to say that because they're fear-mongering. I think I've said it four times, but I'm not afraid of the world. I'm just saying I think things are kind of crappy. So,
yeah.
So that's a positive way to end the show. We have to start drinking and masturbating to be able to fall asleep for the 4 to 6 hours that we're going to get tonight just because we're so sad about the state of the world.
Well, as long as they're not using the weapons that I used on submarines, we're okay.
Yeah, let's hope, right?
Right? I mean, that's the way it goes in my mind.
Well, then don't watch the John Oliver show this week because he does a whole nuclear missile segment that's going to blow your mind.
Really? I can't wait to watch it. It's on HBO, right?
It is on HBO.
But yeah, I don't really see that as a. I don't see, you know, unless a country like Iran actually uses nuclear weapons, if somebody blows one of those away, then we'll be talking about the worst time ever in the world. But we've created a lot of our own bullshit with our own bullshit fear of terrorists and all this kind of stuff where you go to the airport and, you know, they got to do a colonoscopy on you before you can get on the airplane. And I mean...
Right.
You know,
yeah, I mean, no. We live in a fear state, which is a very anti-American way to live, if you ask me. It, so,
it's nuts. It is fucking nuts.
What are we supposed to be afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of.
I remember when we were kids, the idea of going to the Ontario airport for watching planes take off and land was what you kind of wanted to do because it was cool.
Yeah, it was super cool to sit there on the side of the road and watch the planes fly over. Yes, that was a big deal.
You know that scene in Wayne's World, the first movie, Wayne's World?
Yeah.
They're at the airport. They're on the hood of their car, leaning up against the glass, and they're at the end of the runway of some airport and wherever the fuck they're from, and the airplanes come by, like that fucking close that they could.
Yes, they used to happen in Ontario, right? Exactly.
And you can't do that anymore.
No, you're not allowed to hang out in airports.
All the airports are like fucking locked down. Security cars coming around. Hey, what are you doing hanging out over here?
Yeah, you can't even sit at the curb for 2 minutes while you're waiting for somebody to get their luggage.
I know. So it's like, come on, really? Yeah. I mean, we did a lot of this to ourselves.
Oh, but, absolutely.
You know,
but I'm still saying that.
If we just wouldn't have let the terrorists into this country in the first place, we wouldn't have had this problem.
All right, that's next week's topic.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. All right. It's crazy.
Well, let's wrap this one up. And if we live to talk another day, we'll delve deeper into the other topics.
Well, you know, this is starting to sound like the end of the episode of the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me show.
Why is that? When they always ask what, like, make a prediction or whatever?
Yeah, make a prediction. I believe that Obama will be sued by Boner and Company.
Right.
Well, the GOP tonight just passed that resolution that says that he's allowed to sue them now.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
And they're still talking about impeachment.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. That's what we need to be doing.
Right, because the country doesn't have anything better to do.
Right.
I mean, I mean, if he fucks somebody besides his wife, then I could understand why they'd want to impeach him.
Yes, that is an impeachable offense.
That's what they should have been thinking about.
And especially if she wasn't super attractive.
Right. I mean, they're right now they're going, come on, he must have fucked somebody.
You know they're looking for that all over. All over they're looking for that.
Come on. There's a blue dress somewhere. Come on.
A black light's going through the Oval Office every other night, I'm sure.
All right. Well, we did talk about the 4HourWorkWeek.com website where the author, Tim Ferriss, put out the challenge. Give up wine or booze or masturbation. We also talked about how much sleep do you actually need. They do recommend you get about 6 or 7 hours of sleep.
It's dependent upon how much booze or masturbation you've done.
Right. At least that's a generic version. So I'm sure that the jury's still out on that.
Right.
And then, are we living in the worst time of the world ever? Well, we can agree to disagree on that one.
I think we shall.
So I think it depends. So. All right. Well, for TJ Talks, I am Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will chat with you later.
Talk at you later.
Wine and masturbation.